the Word of God as it is read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and charge them before the Lord to avoid disputing about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. May we pray. We thank thee today, our Heavenly Father, for the call which you have so graciously extended to each of us, the call to be a Christian, and within that context, the call to special forms of service. We thank you for the privilege of preparation and training in order that we might learn to use the talents which you have given us and all of the gifts that you have given us to best advantage. We thank you for many Southern Baptists who have made sacrifices of gifts and in prayer. Institutions like this may exist for the training of ministers. And we thank you most of all today, our Father, for the leadership of your Holy Spirit, because he is our best teacher and causes us to remember things that we have no business ever forgetting. We ask now for your blessing in this service, in order that we might be reminded of the challenge which you have set before us and of your limitless resources in doing the ministry to which you have called us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think you can do better than that. And all the people said, Bill, we're glad you could be here today to sing with Clint, and we've already been blessed. There is a quaint old saying that you can no more give what you ain't got than you can come from where you ain't been. And I suppose that is so. But in any event, this morning, I want to talk with you about some experiences that I've had and some places that I really have been. And I'm glad that you're in chapel this morning, for I have some things that I really want to say to you. I don't believe there's anything I enjoy doing more than preaching, but I do not so much want to preach to you this morning, because I simply have some things that I want to say to you. In the airport at Fairbanks, Alaska, there is a plaque that says, "Bring me men to match my mountains, Mount McKinley, 20,300 feet. This is a call for strong men to match the highest mountain in North America. I want to suggest to you this morning that the needs of our day and the purposes of God for our day stand out as great mountain peaks before us, and God needs strong men and women to match his mountains in our day. And only those who are prepared well will be a match for those mountains. Now, as a matter of fact, Midwestern Seminary is in the precise business of preparing that kind of people to match God's mountain. And I believe that we need to see this morning that God is needing the very kind of product that is ours, that is our product. Men and women prepared well to match God's purposes in our day. Now, for 32 years, I have been involved in some way in theological education and in seminary training. And I believe strongly in the importance of seminary training. I believe that it is essential to those who would serve the Lord in a day like this. Several years ago at Southwestern Seminary, while I was still teaching there, I discovered that of the thousands of students who had enrolled at Southwestern Seminary, only 34% had completed their course of study and graduated. The attrition rate at that time at Southwestern was 66%. One of the things that has concerned me most since I have been at Midwestern Seminary is the fact that so many students come and enroll and take a few classes and then drop out before they complete their course of study and graduate. Our attrition rate is a little bit better today than Southwestern's was some time ago, but only 42% of the thousands who have enrolled at Midwestern Seminary through the years have finished their course of study and graduated. An attrition rate of 58%. Now, why is it that so many students leave the seminary before they finish their course of study? I'm rather sure that there are many reasons. And quite a number of them, I'm sure, are good reasons. Some of them, I suppose, are unavoidable. But I wonder if the major reason is not the fact that the students simply do not believe strongly enough in the importance of seminary training. I well remember my own call to the ministry many years ago now. It came after I had been out of college for 12 years. It came after I had been a successful music director and teacher. It came after I had become a successful businessman and civic leader. And I remember the mixed advice that I got when that call came. The man that I call my father in the ministry, Dr. Claude Colson, down in Jacksonville, Florida, was not a seminary-trained man. He was a good preacher. He was a good pastor. He was well-educated, but not in the seminary. Dr. Colson said to me, "Scudder, start building your own personal library. Start a serious study program. Train yourself. Get in a pastorate. And get on with your ministry." My pastor at the time was Clifton Fite. And I remember his advice was just the opposite. Clifton was a seminary-trained minister, and he said, "By all means, you ought to go to the seminary." I remember my wife said, "Scud, I didn't marry a preacher, but if my husband's going to be a preacher, I want him to be the best that he can become." Now, that is pretty strong influence to get on to the seminary. But I believe that the deciding factor was the influence of old Dr. Ellis Sammons, in retirement at that time, the former pastor of the Vineville Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. I had a chance to talk with old Dr. Sammons in a revival meeting. And he said to me, "By all means, young man, go to the seminary." And he gave me a verse of scripture to learn. And he said, "I encourage you to let this sink deeply into your mind and never forget it." It's a strange verse of scripture. Ecclesiastes 10:10. "If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." Now, the text of that verse is a bit hard to translate and a bit hard to interpret. But the simple message of it came through to me loud and clear. For I remembered that one of my chores when I was a young boy growing up on the farm up in Illinois was to see that we always had an ample supply of stove wood. And I remembered how much easier it was and how much quicker I could get through if the axe was sharp. And I always took time to sharpen the axe. I remember watching my dad sharpened that old straight razor of his on a razor strap. I can see him now, that thing just going. Looked like he would spend most of his time just sharpening the razor. It took much more time for him to sharpen the razor than to shave. I learned from experience some years later that that's not wasted time. I also learned that there are other things that razor straps are used for. Well, one morning in baby Greek class, and by the way, we called it baby Greek because it kept us up all night. And back in those days, we didn't get any credit for baby Greek either. But I remember one morning in baby Greek class, soon after I arrived at the seminary, Dr. Jack McGorman, our professor, took time to encourage us in our study habits. I have never forgotten that session. He gave us a word picture of the old reaper out in the harvest field with one of those old long-handed, crooked-handed scythes. Now, some of you may never have seen one, but possibly you've at least seen a picture of one. And he reminded us that it had not been long since much of the harvesting of grain was done that way. And he said a very familiar sight in those olden days was this reaper with the end of the scythe on the ground and holding the top, and with a long stone he'd go back and forth up and down the blade of that scythe. Dr. McGorman said it always looked like he was wasting his time, looked like he was resting most of the time. But he said time for sharpening that scythe was not wasted. For when he began to use the scythe, it would cut the grain so much easier and so much better. And then he made the application for us. He said, when we came to the Lord, we put some pretty dull instruments in his hands. And do not ever think that you're wasting your time as you study Greek and sharpen your mind to use a new tool in doing the Lord's work. I believe it was only about 2 weeks later that Dr. E.D. Head spoke in chapel to the seminary family. And I remember he said, one of the things that concerns me deeply here at the seminary is how many students come to the seminary and stay a while, but get so anxious to get out in that full-time pastorate that they leave the seminary and take a church and never complete their seminary training. And he encouraged us to stay with it, to dig deep, to get all of the preparation that we could get. Well, by that time, I think I was pretty well convinced, and I believe pretty well committed to theological education and seminary training. But I did not know at that time that the Lord was never going to let me leave the seminary. Because I think, like everyone else, I was looking forward to that day when I would graduate and be gone. Just a few months before I was to receive my doctor's degree, Dr. J. Howard Williams, the new president at Southwestern Seminary, called me to his office and invited me to become a member of the faculty at Southwestern Seminary. And he encouraged me to accept that invitation. And he was rather convincing in the things that he said to me. He reminded me that at my age, I probably would have about 30 years of ministry in the churches. But he said, if you stay here at the seminary and teach 30 years, and you teach 200 students a year, and I taught many more than that many years, you will teach 6,000 students during those 30 years. And if they have 30 years of ministry in the churches, you will have multiplied your ministry and will have shared in 180,000 years of ministry. Well, I've never made the application to my actual experience. But I do know that I have taught thousands of students and shared with them during the 21 years I was at Southwestern Seminary and the 7 years that I've been here at Midwestern Seminary, and I have seen many of them go on to become matches for some of God's highest mountains in our day. quite a number of them. I have not taken the time to count them, are teaching in seminaries today here in the United States and out on the mission field in mission seminaries. Two of my former students are presidents of two of our six seminaries. Two are academic deans. Two that I think of just now are presidents of universities. And many are out in the churches serving the Lord and on the mission field, literally around the world. And I appreciate those through the years who were so insistent to say to me, go to the seminary, get all of the preparation you can get, and even for Dr. Williams, who said, stay at the seminary and become a seminary teacher. Although I think those who stay at the seminary and teach miss many, many of the joys that you fellows will find out in the churches, in fellowship with the congregations there. I want to encourage you this morning to learn that same verse of scripture that I learned over 32 years ago. Ecclesiastes 10:10. And I encourage you to hear the words of those who were so insistent that I get my seminary training. For as you go out into this kind of a world to match God's purposes as he leads you, I promise you, you'll need all of the preparation that you can get. One of my professors said one time, get your quiver full before you leave the seminary, for you'll need all of the arrows you can get. You'll not have nearly so much time when you get out in the churches as you have now. Now I want to suggest that if we are to be a match for God's purposes in our day, then we must become intellectually sharp. There is no excuse for anyone serving the Lord God who does not take time to get intellectually sharp through serious study. And that is something that won't stop here at the seminary. It will go on through life. And I believe that it is one of the most important things you can learn, that you need to keep yourself intellectually sharp if you are to minister to the kind of people who will be in your churches today. The most educated congregations that we have ever had in the churches. I believe it was Jowett who said, if the preacher's study is a lounge, his pulpit will be an impertinence. And I think that may well be so. I think that it is a shame when those who come to the seminary enroll for classes do not commit themselves to deep, earnest study and scholarship, to become as intellectually sharp as it is possible for you to become. Paul told Timothy to be diligent. To be diligent and doing whatever was necessary that he might have God's approval as one who could accurately handle the word. That's what Paul said to young Timothy. And those words are good for you today, too. Do everything and be diligent in doing it that you can do to have God's approval as one who can accurately handle and separate the Word of God. If we are to be a match for God's mountains, I believe that we must develop functional proficiency. I like to call it professional proficiency. There is room in the ministry for those who have the mark of professionalism upon them. And we do this through practice. You become a preacher by preaching. You learn to teach by teaching. You learn to sing by singing. And seminary days should never be idle days for seminary students insofar as service in the churches is concerned. Every seminary student should be actively involved in some way in some local church where he is gaining a measure of functional proficiency as he functions. It is very difficult for me to believe that a person will make a good missionary out in some faraway place if he's not busy today advancing the cause of Christ where he is. We need to develop functionally as good ministers of Christ. Just one other. If we are to be a match for God's mountains in our day, we must cultivate spiritual sensitivity. And we develop spiritual sensitivity through earnest prayer and through serious service, meeting the needs of those round about us. Let me tell you this, seminary students. There are those who sit beside you in classrooms today who are hurting. You don't have to wait until you get out in a church to become sensitive to the needs of other people. And we become sensitive to those needs when we look for them and meet them over and over again. And we become spiritually sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit when we seek to understand God's will and when we earnestly strive to do it. And as he leads us in finding and following the will of God, we develop sensitivity to his movement in our lives. We know when he is impressing us, and we need to learn to understand those impressions and put them into action every day. The message that is preached from the pulpit may be well structured. It may have all of the marks of scholarship upon it. But hear me now. If it doesn't meet the needs, the real needs of the people in the pew, it is a sorry, sorry sermon. We ought to be sensitive to the needs of our people and match our ministry to them. My old daddy in the ministry said to me, Scudder, and he always called me Scudder. Said, Scudder, if you want to be a good preacher, spend the morning hours with the book. Now, this is the man who was not trained in the seminary. Spend the morning hours with the book and the afternoon hours with the people, and when you stand on Sunday morning to preach, you will have something to say that they need to hear. That means you've got to get acquainted with people and know their needs and be sensitive to their deep spiritual needs. Then it is that we can follow the leading of the Spirit of God in the meeting of those needs. Let me encourage you to dig deep during these days at the seminary. These are good days for you. Never again will you have more opportunity with books in a library like ours and the opportunity to talk with people who've been down that road, who are on our faculty. This is a time of preparation for you. Understand the importance of that preparation. Learn this now. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then he's going to have to put a whole lot more strength into it. Then must he put two more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. May we pray. Our Father, for the privilege of study and sharing during days of seminary study, we thank thee. And we pray for those who teach and those who come to study. May all of us understand the importance of what we're doing as we prepare to meet the needs of our world in ways pleasing to God and match all of those mountains that are in his purposes for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.